The Forsyte Chronicles by John Galsworthy. Dramatized by Elspeth Sands. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Sophie Thompson as Dinny Cheryl, Amanda Redman as Fleur, Paul Daneman as Sir Lawrence Mont, and Jack Claff as Captain Furze. Episode 18.
Furze? Back? This is a thunderbolt, Dinny. A thunderbolt. Let me just lock these things up, and we'll go straight back to Oakley Street. Poor Diana.
On reaching Diana Furze's house in Chelsea, Dinny and Jean Tasborough learned of Captain Furze's sudden homecoming from the mental home. This unheralded reappearance of one whom all had assumed to be hopelessly unhinged was staggering. Leaving Jean at Oakley Street, Dinny hurried to the museum where her Uncle Adrian was just on the point of leaving.
Do you know where Diana is, Uncle?
She's dining tonight with Fleur and Michael. Till then, I don't know.
Couldn't you telephone the mental home?
Without seeing Diana, I daren't. You say he was looking at you?
From the dining room window, yes.
And looked normal?
Well, from what I could see, yes. I had a strange impression of fire behind bars, his eyes. But they were always like that, I remember.
It's too horrible. Poor Diana. And horrible to be feeling like this, too, because the poor devil's back. Oh, a bad business, Dinny.
What's the law about it, Uncle?
God knows. He was never certified. Diana wouldn't have it. They took him as a private patient.
But surely he couldn't come away just when he liked, without any notice being given.
Oh, who knows what's happened. But whatever we do, we must think of him as well as ourselves. We mustn't make it harder for him. Poor Furze. There. I'm ready.
Oh, Uncle, what about the night time?
Oh, good Lord. We must save Diana from that.
Murder? Well, that's a damn serious charge.
A damn ridiculous one. It was self-defense. It's the Bolivian press, Lawrence. They sense they're onto a good thing. They don't have the objectivity of Fleet Street. We thought you might know who to get at.
Yes, quite. Well, now, let's think.
General Sir Conway Cheryl and his son Hubert had surprised Sir Lawrence Mont in his library, where he'd been working on his latest literary duet, an imaginary dialogue between Voltaire and Swift.
The idea that my only son can be hauled half across the world on a charge of murder is a nightmare.
I don't like the sound of it. Especially not to Bolivia.
The problem is, sir, I have nothing but my word.
And the scar? That's a powerful piece of evidence.
Dinny believes Hubert should publish his own account of what happened from his diary.
I'd much rather not, sir. Private feelings, you know.
Yeah, well, it seems to me this is a Foreign Office business. If you have nothing better to do, let's go and see old Shropshire. His nephew, Bobby Farrar, is about as fixed a star as any you'll find at the F.O. Old Shropshire's always in.
It's like going into the lion's den.
Dinny! Dinny!
Oh, look, Uncle, up there. It's Jean.
I'm locked in the drawing room. You might let me out.
Did he lock you in?
Go to the car, Dinny. I'll send Jean out to you.
But, Uncle, how will you deal with Captain...
He'll listen to me. Where are you both going now?
To Uncle Hillary's. If they can't put us up at the vicarage, we'll be at Fleur's. Oh, do take care, Uncle.
I will, my dear.
Ah, young Mont. Come in, come in.
There you go.
I've been grappling with Einstein. Space bounded by the infinite. I need someone to explain it.
Not even Einstein can do that, Marquis.
Whom have I the pleasure of seeing?
As my brother-in-law, General Sir Conway Cheryl.
How do you do, my lord?
And his son, Captain Hubert Cheryl.
Ah, yes. I'm well acquainted with your family, General. Sit you down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your brother Hillary and I sit on a committee together. Slum clearance. He's a live wire.
We've come to you for advice, Marquis.
Something to do with electricity?
Alas, no. More a matter of extradition. Hubert, will you explain?
Yeah, I apologize for troubling you, sir. Fact is, I'm in a bit of a hole.
In the terse, unemotional tones typical of his class and profession, Hubert proceeded to outline his plight.
Sticky. Those Bolivian chaps are not noted for their impartiality. Could I see the scar? You had a narrow escape, young man.
I put up my arm just as he struck.
And this man was flogged for ill-treating his mules, you say?
Continually ill-treating them.
I'm told it's done every day in the meat trade and the Zoological Society. Perhaps we should flog some of them.
We thought possibly a word with your nephew.
Bobby, is he in town?
I saw him yesterday at the coffee house.
Then I shall invite him to breakfast. Bobby has a dog that bites everybody. I've always understood that to mean he's an animal lover, like yourself, Cheryl. A man who's fond of animals always wants to flog a man who isn't.
I can hardly expect a welcome, Cheryl.
My dear fellow.
But I'm going to see Diana. Don't try and prevent me.
Of course not.
I'm sane enough now, make no mistake. I began to mend about 3 months ago. As soon as I realized that, I kept it dark. Those who look after us must be so certain of our sanity that if we left it to them, we'd never be sane again. I kept it dark for 3 months. Only this last week or so I've shown them I'm responsible, but they want far more than a week. I didn't want them writing home. I wanted to come here and show myself as I am. I didn't want Diana warned. You used to be in love with my wife, Cheryl. You still are. Well,
we are just as we were. Friends.
You'd say that anyway.
I'm bound to think of her first, as I always have.
And that's why you're here, then.
Gracious man, haven't you realized the shock it'll be to her? Wouldn't it be fairer to her and to yourself if you came to my room, say, at the museum, and saw her there for the first time?
No. I'll see her in my own house.
But this is where she went through hell first. What chance are you giving yourself?
What chance shall I be given if I don't take any chance I can? My own wife can't take me for what I am. Who will? Loneliness. Go off your chump, Cheryl, and you'll know what it's like to be lonely.
Now, look here, my dear fellow. I've got a spare room. Come and put up with me till we get things straightened out.
No thanks, Cheryl. Foxes have holes, and I've still got this one.
Have you seen the children?
No. Do they remember me?
I don't think so.
Do they know I'm alive?
Yes. They know you're away ill.
Not...
No. Shall we eat? Oh, it's all right, Diana.
Ronald!
I'll leave you together. If you want to consult me, I'll be out here in the hall.
Diana! Diana! I'm all right. Do you believe me? Not a word to throw to a dog.
It's the shock.
I've come back sane. I've been sane for 3 months now.
I'm glad.
My God, you're as beautiful as ever.
No, Ronald, no. I couldn't let it be as it was before.
I didn't mean to be violent. Forgive me. We'd better talk it over quietly.
Yes.
Am I not to live here?
It's your house. You must do whatever's best for you.
It'd be best for me if you and everyone would treat me as if nothing had happened to me.
Don't. I will try. But I must have a separate room.
Are you in love with Cheryl?
No.
With anyone?
No.
Scared then?
Yes.
I see. Naturally. Well, It's not for God's playthings to make terms. We take what we can get. Can we let Cheryl go now?
I'll tell him.
Let me.
No, Ronald. I will.
Why did he lock you in, Miss Tasborough? You must have been frightened.
Not really. He didn't want anyone to interfere before he'd seen his wife. Quite natural, in a way. He's suspicious of everybody.
I never thought about insanity before. People either joke about it or hide it away. But now it seems more pitiful than anything in the world.
It's a mercy Adrian's with him.
He's sure to telephone here, Uncle Hilary. Will you tell him Jean and I have gone to Fleur's?
I'm sorry we can't put you up here, my dear. Your aunt will be disappointed.
So long as you agree to marry Hubert and Jean, Uncle, we're relying on you for that.
But why the hurry? You're not afraid of changing your minds, are you, Miss Tasborough?
Not at all. I'd stick to Hubert even if we weren't married.
What does your father say?
He's perfectly docile.
And your father, Dinny?
He will be. Hubert's speaking to him today.
Well, if he agrees...
They are head over ears, Uncle.
So I'd assumed.
I suggested to Harrison that we meet here, Con. I thought, as an American, it might appeal to him.
The coffee house. Oldest club in the world, isn't that what they call it?
The oldest, and if you judge by its plumbing, the worst.
Strange people, the Americans. Don't understand them. Take this, Harrison. First he gets us into a mess, then he moves heaven and earth to get us out of it.
Here he is now.
The apostle of plumbing.
Harrison had not met the general before, nor had he heard of the latest threat to Hubert. But as an American, possessed of energy and the conviction that everything was possible, he saw at once what had to be done.
I can't take this sitting, gentlemen. I'm going along right now to see the Bolivian minister. And, Cheryl, I've kept the address of your boy Manuel, who'll confirm your story. I'll cable our consul at La Paz to get a statement right away.
It's dash good of you, Harrison.
Not a bit of it. I owe it to you. None of this would have happened if I'd kept my darn mouth shut.
Uncle Adrian, here you are. Why did you run off like that? Fleur and Michael wanted you.
Skeletons shouldn't sit at feasts, my dear.
Would you rather be alone now?
No, I'm always glad of you, Dinny.
Oh, poor uncle. All this must be terribly painful for you.
I've spoken to Hilary. He thinks the best thing is for Diana and Furs to resume normal life.
Does she want that?
Shouldn't be asked of a woman. It's too cruel for words.
I'm ready to go to her, you know. Any time she wants me.
That's my kind, Dinny.
Do you believe in God, uncle?
I'm not the person to ask, Dinny.
Afraid of corrupting my orthodoxy?
I believe in the power of creation. Of a design without beginning or end, but divine mercy? I don't see much evidence of it. Look, think of a madhouse, Dinny. Even one as civilized as the place where Furs was incarcerated. I used to go and see him there, you know, make sure he was being treated properly. It never failed to give me the horrors.
Someone once said that helping one another is all the working version we can make of God.
Then you must be something of a saint, my dear.
Me? Oh, I don't count. It's you who matters, Uncle. You and Diana and poor Captain Furs.
Yeah, you can have too much reality, Dinny.
I wonder if Jean's discovering that.
Jean? From what I saw of her this afternoon, I don't think you need worry.
We spoke to Uncle Hilary. So long as Dad's given it his blessing, he'll marry them.
Hubert's a lucky man.
Jean's been trying to reach him to tell him. I do hope nothing's wrong.
Miss Tasborough, a pleasure to see you again.
Lord Saxon.
The decision to visit Lord Saxenden at his home in Eaton Square had been made, like all Jean's decisions, on the spur of the moment. Having tracked Hubert down to the coffee house, she had learned to her dismay about the threat of extradition.
I wanted to tell you of my engagement to Hubert Cheryl, Lord Saxenden.
But surely you weren't engaged when we spoke the other night?
No.
That's very sudden.
Aren't all engagements sudden?
How could I be of service?
I wanted to ask you to put a stop to this absurd request for Hubert's extradition. You must have heard of it. You're so much at the centre of things.
Extradition is a legal matter, Miss Tasborough. I really can't interfere.
Captain Cheryl is a DSO, Lord Saxenden. Englishmen don't let each other down, do they? Especially when they've been to the same school.
Oh, was he there too?
You know what a time he had on that expedition. Dini read you some of his diary.
You young ladies seem to think I've nothing better to do than meddle in things that don't concern me.
But with respect, my lord, this should concern you. The shooting was in pure self-defense. He's got a most terrible scar to prove it.
A scar, you say?
I know you can help us, Lord Saxenden. I know you can bring influence to bear.
Come and lunch with me at the Piedmont Grill Friday fortnight. I'll tell you then if I've been able to do anything.
Rum place, this. I suppose caricatures are considered modern.
Have you never been up here before?
Michael Mont and I live in different worlds.
You mustn't worry, Hubert. It won't come to anything.
Mm. Does Dini know?
It was she who suggested we use Michael's study.
Mm.
She didn't think you'd want to brave Fleur and Michael. Dini wants Michael to raise the matter in Parliament.
Hmm? What good would that do? That's where it all began.
Oh. I don't like that painting at all. The white monkey. Look at its eyes. They're positively sinister.
Jean, darling, we have to face the facts.
That's exactly what I am doing, Hubert.
Until this business is over...
I am going to marry you, Hubert, whether you're extradited or not. You don't imagine I'd let you get on that boat without me, do you?
You're a marvel.
We'll see your Uncle Hilary together in the morning. If he's still willing to do it, then we'll go ahead. I've no intentions of letting you make me unhappy for my own good, Hubert.
I've had news that a warrant may be issued for my extradition, Uncle. Jean wants the marriage to go ahead in spite of that.
Hmm.
Because of that?
I say it's too chancy. Not fair to her. We agreed to put the matter to you and abide by your judgment.
Why me?
Because you make more on-the-spot decisions than anyone, Uncle Hilary.
Hmm.
Except police magistrates.
Well, I'm not sure that's a recommendation.
Nothing can possibly be gained by waiting, Mr. Cheryl. Hmm. If they take him, I'll go too anyway.
Could you prevent that, Hubert?
I don't suppose I could.
I can see I'm dealing with a case of love at first sight. Well, it happened to me and I've never regretted it. How likely is this extradition, Hubert?
Not likely at all.
I don't know. Father's worried, but various people are doing their best.
Mm. Have you got the license?
We have to wait a few more days.
Well, when you have it, providing there are no parental objections, I'll turn you off.
Really?
Mm. I may be wrong, but I don't think so.
You won't regret it, Mr. Cheryl.
I don't intend to. Tomorrow fortnight at 2 o'clock, will that be all right for you?
That's splendid.
I'm frightfully obliged to you, Uncle. If you're really sure it's not rotten of me.
My dear boy, when you take up with a young woman like Jean here, you must expect this sort of thing.
The object of the visit having been achieved, Jean and Hubert hurried away.
Now that the lovebirds have flown, Dini, I can ask about you. I gather Miss Tasborough has a sailor brother. Has he laid himself alongside yet?
Several times.
And?
I'm not sudden, Uncle.
I think you will be when the time comes. I think you'll surprise us all.
Shall I tell you what I feel most of the time, Uncle?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a shadow. Uncle Adrian thinks we can have too much reality. I don't believe I've had any.
Blue eye, true eye. You're my favourite niece, Dini. I'll marry you off yet.
I hope you don't mind me travelling with you, miss.
Of course not, Millie.
Dini smiled. It had been her uncle's idea for Millicent Pearl to travel with her.
She is an insoluble problem, Dini. Real piece of human nature. You might have a shot at solving her.
Woman to woman. I wonder.
Your uncle's a real gentleman. If he hadn't spoken up for me that day in court...
I was there. I just happened to be visiting. I thought it brutal, the way they made you stand there and listen to all those insinuations.
I really did speak to a man, Miss Cheryl. Oh, please don't tell your uncle. I didn't mean to. It just came over me. I was fed up with wanting money.
Well, personally, I should want more than money. Affection, at the very least. But I expect I'm old-fashioned.
I don't suppose you've ever wanted money. Not really.
You're right, of course. Though I don't have much.
Nobody thinks the worst of a man for doing a thing like that.
Had things been going badly?
My sister had been ill for 5 weeks. Normally we only make just enough and we're both working. She's gone back now, but she's not really fit.
And what about you, Millie?
Oh, I've lost my job. Petter and Poplin said they were sorry, but with my name being in all the papers...
But that's not fair. You were acquitted.
At least they gave me a reference. And now I'm going to Mrs. Mont for another. I want to be a mannequin.
Does my uncle know that?
Well, he didn't exactly fall for it. But it's better than...
I should hate to be a mannequin. Dressing up for a lot of disgruntled women, it's so inane.
Someone has to do it.
But why you?
I'm not a lady, miss, like you. I wish I were.
Oh, I hate that word.
What, you're born, you stay.
Why does she disturb me? Is it because she speaks the truth?
Your uncle's afraid I'm heading for Blue Ruin.
You're not, though, Millie, are you?
I like pleasure, miss. I'll take it if I can get it. Oh, look! That man with the balloons, ain't he a sight? I do love the top of the bus. You can see such a lot.
All human life.
Does go on, doesn't it?
For people who depend on their jobs, yes. But for me... I'm afraid I lead a very humdrum life, Millie. Not like yours at all. I always seem to be waiting for things. Westminster Abbey. Do you want to go in? Mrs. Mont doesn't expect you till 12, does she?
Are we allowed?
Of course we are. I half expect to wake one morning and read that they're tearing it down. They've pulled down just about everything else.
Who's the albedo with no clothes on?
Neptune. He's a symbol. Britannia rules the waves, you know.
Oh.
It's a bit of an old curiosity shop, this place. Over there is where they bury famous writers. It's called Poet's Corner.
The Unknown Warrior. Who's he?
Nobody knows. He's a symbol, too.
It didn't do him much good then, did it? Being buried here.
I don't really like church as much. You have to keep so quiet. You religious, miss? In a sort of way.
My dad used to say religion was part of the capitalist system. Of course he liked Mr. Cheryl. We all do. But then he's not like other men, is he?
I don't suppose he is.
I went off God when I realised he was always called he. That's what gets girls treated the way we are. Now, he can't do much creating without a she anyway.
You should say that to my uncle.
Perhaps if God were he and she, men and women might begin to be equal. They say we are now, but we're not. All them magistrates and judges and clergy, they're all men.
This is the most unsettling conversation I've ever had. South Square is next on the left, Millie. You won't have any trouble finding Mrs. Mont's house.
Aren't you coming too?
I'm sorry, Millie. I've some things to do. I do hope we'll meet again.
Goodbye, miss. I've enjoyed our talk.
So have I, Millie. So have I. What will happen to her, I wonder? It all seems so arbitrary. Perhaps I'm not religious at all. Perhaps I just want to be in love.
Denny!
Oh, Alan! What are you doing here?
Looking for you. What stupendous luck.
I was just trying to decide whether I was religious.
Oh, how queer. So was I.
Are you?
At a pinch.
I just made up my mind. I'm going to stay with Diana. You know Captain Furse has come back.
Jean told me.
It's time I began to earn my corn. If Diana wants me, I'll move in right away.
I don't like the idea.
Why not?
I'd much rather you married me.
Oh, really, Alan? I've never met anyone with so few ideas. Very, very, quite contrary.
What's biting you, me very dear?
My own nature. It doesn't seem to be able to make enough trouble for me.
I could do that for you.
I'm serious, Alan. Being a daughter in the country doesn't amount to much.
Then become a mother in the town.
I'm sorry, Alan. I know myself too well. I can't marry anyone till it hurts not to.
Dinny, how good of you to come.
I've made up my mind, Diana. If you want me, I'll stay. You can tell Captain Furse it was arranged before.
It might be rather horrible, Dinny. He won't see anyone.
He'll see me, and that'll accustom him.
I'm trying to treat him as if nothing has happened.
It'll be all right, Diana, you'll see. I'll go round to Flair's now and get my things.
I'm not going to let him down, Dinny. If there's anything I can do to give him a chance.
It shouldn't be asked of a woman. It's too cruel for words.
Bless you.
I'll telephone Uncle Adrian from Fleurs. Let him know where I am. He was going down to the home this morning.
Can't last, Dinny. I can see it in his eyes. It won't last.
It's a perfect example, Dinny, of how little the law can help. Even if Diana had got free, it wouldn't have stopped Furs coming back to her, or her feeling about him the way she does. The law can't touch the human side of anything. Is Diana in love with Adrian?
I don't think so, but I don't really know. I find it difficult enough to know what goes on inside myself.
Which reminds me, your American rang up. He wants to call.
Well, he can, but I shall be at Diana's.
He confided in me, Dinny. He says you're what he calls his ideal. If you're not going to take him, I think you should put the poor brute out of his misery.
The moment this thing of Hubert's is over, I'll put an end to him.
Oh, am I to back the sailor, then?
Put your money on old maid.
My dear unthinkable.
I don't see what one gains by marriage.
We can't stand still, you know, Dinny.
You're modern, Fleur. I'm medieval.
You may look early Italian, Dinny, but that doesn't mean you can escape. Sooner or later, you'll get fed up with yourself, and then...
What have you gained, Fleur?
Behold the complete woman.
Children, you mean?
Well, they are possible without marriage, but for you, Dinny, with your ancestral complex, I don't think so.
While I think of it, did you give Millicent Pole a reference?
Of course. She'll make a perfectly adequate mannequin. She's narrow enough. Mind you, if we decide to go in again for curves...
Rather degrading, isn't it, all this chopping and changing of shape?
It's good for trade. We put ourselves in men's hands in order to have them eating out of ours. Philosophy of vamping.
Is that how you keep Michael so devoted?
No one will ever know what pure gold Michael is.
What will become of Millie, do you think? She won't have much chance of keeping straight as a mannequin, will she?
I don't see why not. But I never worry about my neighbour's morals. I leave that to you people at Condaford.
We're not that old-fashioned, Fleur.
You've been there since the Conquest.
I admit I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Then your father should make provision against death duties.
He's only 62.
People die when you least expect it, Dinny. Seriously, your father hasn't got anything besides the estate, has he?
Only his pension.
Then he'll have to start cutting timber.
Oh, he'd never do that. Some of those trees are hundreds of years old.
I'm beginning to see what your American is up against.
This is a piece of luck. I was afraid I'd miss you.
I was just about to start packing.
Dinny and Professor Hallison faced each other across the gold and silver of Fleur's drawing room.
I wanted to tell you what I've done about your brother. I've had a cable from our consul in La Paz. The boy, Manuel, has sworn a statement corroborating your brother's story. It's being mailed to the relevant people here. That should put a stop to this extradition business.
Thank you ever so, Professor.
There's nothing I wouldn't do for your brother now, Miss Cheryl. I've come to think of him as my own.
I'm going to stay with Mrs. Furs. You've heard, I suppose, that Captain Furs is back.
I thought he... I didn't think he could come back.
He seems to have made a recovery.
Is he dangerous?
Well, we don't know yet.
Put this gun in your bag. It's the smallest they make.
What would I want with a gun?
I bought it for this country, seeing you don't go about with firearms here.
I'm afraid it would only go off in the wrong place.
I don't like your being in danger, Miss Cheryl. You're very precious to me.
Dinny looked at the man who'd been her enemy and was now her friend.
Fleur's right. I can't keep him dangling. That's frightfully nice of you, Professor, but I think you ought to know I'm not in the market.
Surely every woman's in the market till she marries.
Some women believe that's when the market begins.
I've no use for adultery myself. I want a straight deal in sex as in everything else.
I hope you'll get it.
I hope so too, Miss Gerald. Miss Terrell, I have the honor to ask you to become Mrs. Hallerson. Please don't say no straight away.
Oh, but I must, Professor, if you want a straight deal.
Is it my nationality?
I don't think so.
The grouch you had against me over your brother.
I don't know.
There isn't another man, is there?
No.
Then I must simply do more to serve you.
I'm not worth service, Professor. Please believe what I say. I like you. I admire you. But I could never love you.
No use crying over spilt milk. Command me in any way, Miss Cheryl. Your servant.
I do believe I'm a little afraid of him. He's so alive. Oh, but it would never do. I belong in England.
That thought was confirmed when, some minutes later, her Uncle Adrian was ushered in.
Dinny.
Uncle, oh, dear Uncle, how very English you are.
Not much luck at the home, I'm afraid. They think Furze ought to go back.
But why, if he's safe?
Well, they query the whole idea of his recovery. They say he was like this once before for 3 weeks, then he lapsed again. His case seems to be one where fits of great gloom alternate with fits of great excitement, and what has to be watched for is the recrudescence of one or the other.
When that happens, is he likely to be violent?
Yes, a kind of gloomy violence, more against himself than anyone else.
Poor Captain Furze.
He always had a streak of revolt in him. He was up against the leadership in the war, up against democracy after the war. He's certain to get up against something now that he's back. And that'll ungear him.
Then it's all the more important that I stay with Diana.
Well, Sir Lawrence, I think I can guess what you've come about.
Bobby Ferrara, permanent official at the Foreign Office, fingered the fly in his buttonhole and gave his visitor the faint, inscrutable smile for which he was so famous.
You've seen your uncle, then?
The Marquis and I had breakfast together yesterday.
Ah, our finest old boy.
I've been trying to interest him in criminology. It's a passion of mine, you know. But he won't even go to a murder trial until they bring in an execution.
It's a murder trial, so-called, I'm here to talk about.
Has your nephew really got a scar?
Well, of course he has.
And he got it trying to defend himself?
Now, look here, Bobby. Hubert is emphatically a good egg. Something's got to be done.
We live in a democratic age, Sir Lawrence.
What's that got to do with it?
It came up in the House, didn't it? A matter of flogging?
Well, I know you can't commit yourself, Bobby, but you can get at the Home Secretary. Shall we agree that you'll do your best? It really is a scandalous charge.
Mary, Mary, wet coat fairy. What is it about weddings? One feels so many things at once. Elation, sadness, jealousy.
You look pale and interesting, Dinny.
I am pale and interesting, Uncle Lawrence.
Thank God they didn't want to do. When you married, Dinny, put no tears by request on your invitation cards. If your Aunt Em were here, she'd have quite given way by now.
Look, Flower and Michael.
Yeah. 8 years since they were married. Taken all in all, they haven't done so badly.
Flower told me the other day that Michael was pure gold.
Did she? Oh, that's good. There have been times, Dinny, when I've had my doubts.
What about Michael?
No, no, no. He's a first-rate fella. But Flowers have fluttered their dovecot once or twice. Since her father's death, though, she's been exemplary. Here they come.
Jenny looked round. Jean, on the arm of her brother, was a picture of colour and vitality.
I mustn't cry.
Hubert, turning to greet his bride, smiled.
Oh, he looks as if the sun has just shone on him.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together here in the sight of God and in the face of this congregation to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony.
Shortest turning off on record, Dinny. What happened to Wilt Thou Obey?
You'd better ask Jean.
Where are they going after?
Jean wants to stay in town. She's found a workman's flat.
Oh, calm before the storm. Oh, I wish this affair of Hubert's were over.
Come in here, Miss Cheryl. I want to talk to you.
Oh, Captain Furze, I didn't see you.
Where have you been?
To my brother's wedding.
I consented to go into that place, you know. I wasn't put there.
I know.
How do I look?
What do I say? Does he know his eyes burn?
I've kept my muscles up. The fellow that looked after me saw to that.
I think you look very well.
What are people saying about me?
Well, I don't know. You won't see anyone.
Diana, what does she think?
She's just glad.
Not possible.
The truth is often not possible, Captain Furze.
Your Uncle Adrian, what's between him and my wife? Don't say nothing.
My uncle worships her. That's why they're just friends.
That's all you know, I suppose.
I know for certain.
What would you do if you were me?
I'd do what Diana wanted.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't think she does yet.
I've got to do something for poor devils like myself, you know.
Oh. He's certain to get up against something now that he's back. And that'll ungear him.
Would you take on the care of the insane, Miss Cheryl? Well, would you?
No, I don't suppose I would.
Exactly. No one with nerve or sensibility could stand it. What you need are saints. There aren't enough of them to go around. My God, when I think about it, if I hadn't known I could walk away at any time, I'd be raving. Raving, I tell you!
You shouldn't upset yourself, Captain.
And I was one of the lucky ones. I had money. The rest, those poor devils in public asylums, what happens to them, Miss Cheryl? Do you ever think about them? Does anyone? Death in life. That's what those places are.
Perhaps one day they'll find a remedy.
Good lobster, Miss Tansborough.
Amazing.
I always come here when I want to eat well. We'll have partridge to follow.
I should tell you, Lord Saxenden, I became Mrs. Hubert Cheryl yesterday. It's in the paper.
You don't waste time.
So it's all the more imperative, you
if
see.
If I'd known, I'd have asked your husband to join us.
He's coming along later.
Oh, the most forthright woman I've ever come across.
Have you spoken to the Home Secretary?
He said he'd think it over. It's as much as one can expect from anyone in government.
Well, what did you say? He'll have paid attention to that.
As a matter of fact, I told him to put a stop to it.
Splendid.
He didn't like it. He's a just beast.
Could I see him?
I hardly think.
I shall. The direct approach is always the best. How do I go about it?
Well, if you really mean to do it, I suppose I could give you a note to Bobby Ferrar.
Captain Cheryl, Mrs. Cheryl, I see you know my friend, Snubby Saxenden.
He was kind enough to write that note of introduction.
And who else have I the pleasure of seeing?
Professor Hallison. We ran into him on the way here. He's most anxious to help Hubert's cause.
Professor.
How do you do?
Quite a delegation.
You should see this cable, sir.
Hallison's meeting with the newlyweds had not been entirely fortuitous. Though he had no real hopes now of Dinny, he was a man of his word. He would see this business of Hubert's through to the end.
It's from our consul at La Paz. Captain Cheryl has been completely exonerated.
I'm afraid it isn't enough. You see, I've already spoken to the Home Secretary. Sir Lawrence Mont asked me to.
But I want to see him myself.
I don't think that would be wise, Mrs. Cheryl. Unfortunately, Lord Saxenden's approach didn't do your cause any good. Walter doesn't care for Snubby.
Has something happened we don't know about?
An order's gone out to Bow Street. There'll be a warrant issued against Captain Cheryl within the next 24 hours.
No!
That's torn it. I don't understand this country. What ought to have been done?
Nothing. You did all you could.
My original instinct was right. The whole thing should have been left alone. Come along, Jean.
Captain Cheryl, Mrs. Cheryl.
This is too bad. Those two are just married, you know. Well, what happens now?
It's up to the magistrates. If Captain Cheryl can produce enough evidence, there's a good chance. Are you a praying man, Professor?
I'm not sure I'd know who to pray to in England.
The principle of British law that a man is presumed innocent until proved guilty is more often honoured in the breach than the observance. It was so with Hubert, whose bail was fixed so high it was immediately assumed by those members of the public present at the hearing that Captain Cheryl, D.S.O., was guilty.
It'll be in the papers, won't it, Uncle Lawrence?
I'm afraid so, my dear.
It was good of you to help Dad with the bail.
You must try not to worry, Dinny. British officer versus Bolivian half-caste will rally the national prejudice.
Miss Cheryl!
Well, thank you for what you said in court, Professor Hallison.
If I could have lied to your brother, I would have. Unfortunately, there was no occasion.
Well, now that you've seen our legal circus, Professor, tell me, what do you think of London? Is it the most barbarous or the most civilized town on earth?
Alison's eyes were fixed on Dimmy.
I'm afraid I'm prejudiced, Sir Lawrence. London has one very special attraction for me.
Mm. You don't prefer New York?
It's more exciting, but it's not so homey.
Hooks you up till it lays you out, eh? Like strychnine. Diddy, where are you bound for?
Back to Diana's, uncle.
Ah, then I must leave you. Professor, we'll meet again.
I don't think so, Sir Lawrence. As soon as this business with Captain Cheryl is fixed up, I'm off to New Mexico. I'm going to take an expedition there.
Oh, then I shall say bon voyage.
Thanks for your hospitality.
Oh, my dear fellow. Well, take care, Diddy. My best wishes to Diana.
Yes. Goodbye, Uncle Lawrence.
I shall always count it a privilege to have known you, Miss Gerald.
You've made me feel quite differently about Americans, Professor Allison.
Well, that's something, anyway.
I'm sorry I misjudged you at first.
It was natural. I'm glad at least to think I have your goodwill.
You have.
Goodbye, Miss Gerald. For me, you will always be the smile on the face of this country.
Goodbye, Professor Allison. Very, very quite contrary. Oh, why is everything so painful?
We'll be safe here. He never leaves the dining room during the day.
Has something happened?
There's a change. I can feel it. Have you noticed he's been drinking more each evening? I'm afraid it's the beginning of the end.
His room adjoins this one, doesn't it?
Yes.
Has he been...
The last 3 nights, I haven't dared refuse.
Oh, Diana. Have you any love for him left?
Love? No.
Just pity.
Oh, it's hard to explain. It's the past and... the feeling that if I desert him, I help the fates against him.
I'm so sorry for you, Diana.
Dinny, I'm worried about the children. Do you think Hillary would take them? I've a dread of something happening while they're here.
They'd be better off at Condaford. Mother would be glad to have them.
Would she? Oh, Dinny, that would be a relief. Could you take them down for me? Mademoiselle can go down separately if your mother doesn't mind having her too. Can you go as soon as possible? I don't know what's coming, but I recognize the signs. If the children were to see that...
I'll borrow Fleur's car. We'll go first thing tomorrow. But don't you think you ought to go yourself, Diana?
That would only precipitate things. He won't mind the children going if he thinks it's an old invitation.
I'll come straight back, Diana. I'm not going to leave you here on your own.
Thank God you took the children when you did, Dinny. He began to rave soon after you left. He seemed to think we were keeping things from him.
Where is he now?
I don't know. He's been out all day. Oh, Dinny, suppose he doesn't come back.
Forgive me, Diana, but I wish he wouldn't.
But where is he gone? Whom can he go to? Oh, God, this is awful.
Shall I ring up Uncle Adrian?
What can he do? If Ronald comes back and finds him here, it will only make him more dangerous.
Sing to me, Diana. It will stop us thinking.
Yes.
I'm scared. I'm supposed to be helping, and I'm scared. Sing Waterboy.
There ain't no hammer that's on this mountain. That ringer like mine, boys. That ringer like mine. I once had a sprig of time. It prospered night and day. By chance there came a false-hearted man, and he stole my time. Must I be bound, or must I go free to love a young man who never loved me?
Keep singing.
Why should I act such a childish part to love a young man with all my heart?
Have you had dinner, Ronald?
Captain Furze looked like a man deranged. His hair was disordered, his lips drawn back so that his teeth showed, his eyes burning.
Is it raining, Captain Furze?
You must be tired, dear. Won't you go to bed? I could bring you something up.
I think he's asleep. Let's go up.
Sleep! I'm for it. I'm for it again, I tell you. I won't stand it. My God, I won't stand it.
Ronald.
Leave me alone! Oh. Get over here!
Ronald, won't you see someone? Just to help you sleep, just for that.
I'll see no one! Get out of here!
I must telephone now, Diana.
Yes, but who to?
Uncle Adrian, or Michael, if you prefer.
Oh, Dinny, I'm afraid he might kill himself.
Has he a weapon?
I gave his service revolver to Adrian.
Razors?
Only safety ones, and there's nothing poisonous in the house.
I'll ring up Uncle Adrian.
No. No, I'll do it.
It's you who are in danger, Diana. He won't touch me. Go up to my room and lock the door. You'll be safe there. Come on. Come on.
Going to give me away, were you?
That's silly, Captain Furze. You knew we'd neither of us do you any harm.
Understand this. I'm not going to be interfered with or messed about.
Please let go of me, Captain Furze. We only want your good.
I know that good. No more of that for me. I shall do what I like with myself. Ah, you needn't worry. The knife isn't for you. It's for cutting the telephone wire.
There. We'll be safe now.
What happened?
He caught me trying to telephone. He's cut the wire.
He has a knife.
I'm afraid so.
Oh, my God.
For the maids, lock their doors.
Since he's been back, yes. How did you get away from him?
He shouted at me to go. I didn't argue.
Oh, God, is there nothing we can do?
Yes, we can move the bed against the door. Yeah. Then, if he does try to break it down... Well, come on, Diana, help me.
Perhaps I ought to go down and face him.
You'll do nothing of the sort.
You don't seem to have any feeling left.
There. Well, lie down with our feet to the door.
I shan't sleep.
Now that there's danger, I don't feel half so sorry for him.
I keep thinking what I'd feel if the children were here.
Perhaps he'll be better in the morning.
The two women lay close together under the eiderdown, neither of them sleeping, neither of them quite awake. Eventually, Diana's breathing changed.
She's asleep. Really asleep. Oh, my God. What is it?
Diana. I want her.
She's not well. She's asleep. If he kills himself, will it be my fault?
Ronald? Ronald?
His hat and coat are gone, Diana.
You were right, Dinny. He has gone. Oh, I can't believe I slept.
Has he any money?
Oh, his checkbook's still here.
I spoke to the maids. They didn't see anything.
Oh, I don't want them involved. We'll get the telephone fixed.
Diana, we can't manage this on our own. Not anymore. We have to go to Uncle Adrian.
Dinny, can you take Diana down to Conderford?
Of course.
You'll be safe there, Diana. You'll be able to get some rest.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to check the home first, make sure he hasn't returned.
And if Ronald's not there...
I'm going to consult Hillary. He's the best man I know in a crisis. Try not to worry, Diana. We'll do everything possible. I'll be in touch as soon as I have any news.
Well, we have to try the hospitals. That's obvious. Mm. Did he have any money?
He'd cashed a check 2 days ago for £5. That's all Diana knew.
Well, then we must try the hotels. He could be drinking.
You know, I've been trying to put myself in his shoes. If I had a doom hanging over me, do you know what I think I'd do?
Hmm?
I'd run for Condorford. Oh, not the place itself, perhaps, but where we haunted as boys. A wounded animal goes home.
Where was his home?
West Sussex. Just under the Downs to the north. The local station is Petworth.
First things first. Let's both do some telephoning. If nothing comes from that, we'll follow your hunch. Do we know what he was wearing?
Blue suit and overcoat. Bowler hat.
Now, we'll need an exact description if we're to keep his name out.
Let me see. About 5'10". Mm-hmm. Square. Yeah. Broad head and cheekbones. Yeah. Darkish hair. Steel blue eyes.
From hospitals, hotels and police, the two brothers had drawn a blank. Now, a little more than an hour later, they were at Victoria Station.
About 5'10", you'd have registered him, I'm sure. He has penetrating blue eyes.
Crazy-looking chap, in a bowler hat.
That'll be him.
He's on the train, he's just about to leave. If you run, you might catch it.
Thank you.
It's no good, old man. He'll see us. That'll spill it.
Yes, you're right. Well, at least we know now where he's headed.
That was an amazing shot of yours, old boy.
Yeah.
How did you learn to develop your hunches?
I read detective novels.
What now?
How much money have you got with you?
11 bob.
No, damn, I've only got 8 and 6. Do you know, I sometimes think we must be the poorest family in England. I know. We'll take a cab round to young Fleur's. I'm sure she'll drive us down. Or Michael. That train's due in at 12:23.
Mother, I have to say it to someone. I'm praying for his death.
Ginny!
Ginny saw the look of horror on her mother's face, but she couldn't take back her words. The peace and safety of Condorford, after the dangers of the last 24 hours, had brought her finely wrought nature to fever pitch.
I can't forget his face, or Diana's. Providence is a washout, Mother.
You need a good sleep, darling. That's what's wrong with you.
It won't change the way I think.
You shouldn't encourage such feelings, Ginny. They affect one's character.
I don't see the connection. I'm not going to behave any worse just because I cease to believe in Providence or an afterlife. If I'm decent, it's because decency is the decent thing, not because I'm going to get anything by it.
But if there's no God...
Oh, subtle and dear Mother, I didn't say there was no God. I said his plan was too remote. I can just hear God saying, by the way, is that ball the earth still rolling? And an angel answering, yes, sir, quite nicely. And God commenting, must be fungused over by now. Wasn't there some particularly busy little parasite? Man, didn't we call it?
Ginny, I think that's rather shocking.
This traffic's awful. It'll be better once we're out of London. I can speed all the way after Dorking.
It's very good of you to drive us, Fleur.
What are you going to do once you find him?
We'll make the best of what turns up, I suppose.
I should send a wire to Diana. There's a post office in the King's Road, isn't there?
What will you tell her?
That we're on the right track.
With London behind them, Fleur began to put on speed.
You drive well, Fleur. We're making excellent time.
When you find him, are you going to take him back in the car?
Dear Fleur, you're always so practical. I'm afraid I go more on the instinct. It seems to serve better in a slum parish. If I worried about what I was going to do beforehand, I'd be dead in a month.
On and on they sped past yellowing spinneys and fields, and bits of common land dotted with geese and old horses, past village greens and village streets.
Damn! There's a tyre gone.
Always happens when you're in a hurry. Never mind. Soon have it changed. Pipe to Adrian.
But as Adrian's knowledge of cars is nil, it was left to Fleur and Hilary to repair the damage.
We've lost 20 minutes. I'm afraid we'll never make it now.
We'll head for the station anyway. They're bound to have noticed him.
There's a porter. I'll ask him. Excuse me, we were to have met a gentleman off the London train. Tallish, thick-set man in a blue suit and overcoat.
Oh, yes, him. I couldn't help noticing. No luggage, you see. Queer, that. He took off toward the Downs.
Thank you.
He's got about a 25-minute start on us.
Not too fast, Fleur. We've come a mile and a half already. We ought to catch up on him somewhere near the top of the Downs.
Look.
What is it?
It's a coat, I think.
I'll go and see.
You still haven't told me what you're going to do when you find him, Uncle Hillary.
That's because I don't know, my dear. I won't know till I see him.
I don't think you should take him back, you know. Not in this.
You're probably right. Youth usually is.
Yes. No doubt about it.
It's his.
What now?
Adrian?
It's a bad sign, I'm afraid.
The two brothers looked at each other. They'd come so far. There could be no turning back.
Do you mind waiting for another half hour, Fleur? If we're not back by then, take the road under the Downs and travel slowly by way of Sutton and Bignor. If there's still no sign of us, take the main Pulborough Road back to London.
I don't like it, Uncle. I think you should let me drive you both home.
He'll have left tracks, you see. He won't be hard to find.
You've been a brick, my dear. I can't think of anyone else who could have helped us.
In episode 18 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogart. Guinea Cheryl was Sophie Thompson. Fleur, Amanda Redman. Sir Lawrence Mont, Paul Damon. And Jack Claff was Captain Furze. Simon Treves played Hubert Cheryl. Gerard Green, General Sir Conway Cheryl. David King, Hilary Cheryl. And John Moffat, Adrian Cheryl. Jack May played the Marquis of Shropshire, Peter Marinka, Professor Hallison, Paul Rattigan, Alan Tasborough, Danielle Allen, Jean Tasborough, and Moya Leslie, Diana Furze. Lady Cheryl was played by Mary Allen, Lord Saxenden, Michael Kilgariff, Millicent Pole by Lois Burgess, and Bobby Farrar, Ian Lindsay. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Anthony Cornish.